in existence today which says, if you don't believe this is the word of God, then make a chapter as good as it. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible never once says, if you don't believe this is the word of God, challenge me. The Torah never says that. The Gita never says that. The only book which said it, but Allah didn't want to say it by showing beautiful verses straight away. No. Allah wanted to begin from simplicity. Which type of simplicity? The type of simplicity where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just simply said, Alif, Lam, Mim. You see how I'm using your language? I'm using your language. Now, you compare your work to what I've sent. If you can produce a book like this, then we'll follow you. But if you can't, I've given you a chance to correlate my 3, 4, 5 letters. If you can't do them, then why are you rejecting the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his message? It was something quite extraordinary. Me and you would never think of these things. As in me and you, if we started something, we'd start with the longest words, intellectually vigorous, the way you have to educationally output the input of the history. You know, we start with these long words, isn't it? We'd never think of beginning something by saying A, B, C. Someone will turn around to you and say, excuse me, what are you doing beginning? No. I'm trying to show you that before we get to the beauty of the art of the Arabic, let's start by saying, are we all square at the beginning? Yes. I don't want to say that I've started with the upper hand. Let's start. Alif, Lam, Mim. You start with Alif, Lam, Mim. I'll continue to flow with my Arabic. Can you continue to flow with yours? Therefore, you found the second opinion was what? The second opinion was that al-huruf al-muqatta'a, they were there to simply say that we start with simple letters and we're open to you to start with simple letters. Try and compare what you have to the Quran. The third opinion was what? The third opinion is an interesting one. That the huruf al-muqatta'a refer to the Quran itself, without a doubt. Huruf al-muqatta'a, they appear 29 times in the Quran. Yes? How many times? 29 times they appear in the Quran. On 26 of those 29 occasions, they refer to the Quran. So one of the opinions of the ulama was what? That the actual haruf al-muqatta'a refer to the Quran. I'll give you an example. Alif, Lam, Mim, correct? Thalika al-kitab. Thalika al-kitab, la rayba fi. When it says thalika al-kitab, it means it's referring to the Quran. The opinion is that alif, Lam, Mim can refer to what? One of its meanings is that it's the Quran. Another meaning is what? This is an interesting meaning. Another meaning of the unconnected letters is that the letters refer to the most important word in the surah. This is an interesting meaning. That if Allah gives a letter at the beginning of a chapter, that means it's referring to the word which you should reflect on the most in that surah. Let me give you an example. The opinion is that, for example, Yasin, yes? Yasin. Yasin, can you think of a word in Surah Yasin which has the letters Ya and Seen? I know that I'm asking you on the spot, but the sharpest of you would straight away possibly go, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. Yes, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى, correct? There is someone who comes from the furthest part of the city, yes'a. One opinion was that if Allah gives you those letters at the beginning of that surah, then what you should think about is what? Think about the word which connects the two of these letters in the surah. That's the most important word in that surah. Yes'a means what? Someone who struggles, someone who works hard, toils to find something. That's an opinion. Another opinion, even within that qaf, Surah Qaf, Surah 50 of the Quran, you have, for example, the word Qarinuh. Surah Safat, or Surah Sa'd, for example, the word Safinat, referring to the horses in the story. Surah Taha. Taha, if you look within the story of Taha, you have what? Ta refers to Tuwa, yes, the valley where Moses went. Ha refers to Harun and Musa. So another opinion was what? Look at the two letters, or the three, or the four, or the five, at the beginning of the surah, then look for the word in the surah which has these, then you'll know what's the most important word in that surah and the meaning of those. Another opinion is what? That the unconnected letters are what? Are a prophecy for an event that's going to happen in the future. That's another opinion. How many majalis did you hear where the Mawlana begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Saad, correct? Of the opinions is what? The opinions is that this refers to Karbala. How? They say Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad was revealed originally to the Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam. The Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, can you give me the name of the holiest five in your eyes? So he looked at him and he said to him, Oh Zakariya, the holiest five in my eyes are Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, salawatullah wa salamu alayhima. So when he said their names, he said to him, Ya Allah, when I say the name Muhammad, or Ali, or Fatima, or Hassan, there is no sorrow as much as when I say the name Hussein. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, O Zakariya, know that there will be a day where Hussein will be killed, yes, on the plains by oppressors. So then he said to him, and know that the prophecy for this are the letters, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad. He said, what are these letters? He said, these letters are Karbala. Yes. And what is after Kaf? Ha, Halak al-Itra, the perishing of the family of Hussein. So Karbala al-Hussein. Halak al-Itra, Ya, Yazid. Or Kaf, Ha, Ain. Yes. Ain refers to what? Atash of Imam al-Hussein. Before that, Yazid. And the last one is what? Sad. Sad is the sabr of Hussein. He said to him, in Karbala, there will be the perishing, halak al-itra of al-Hussein. By whom? By the oppressor Yazid. Yes? And he will be killed with atash, thirsty. But he will have sabr, patience, which will be an example for everybody. So Zakaria said, Ya Allah, I pray to you, give me a son who will be similar to that Hussein. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Prophet Yahya, known in the English language as John the Baptist. One opinion therefore of Surah Maryam, when it begins, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad, one opinion which Shaykh al-Saduq narrates in Kamal al-Din. Shaykh al-Saduq in Kamal al-Din narrates that Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad refers to Karbala, refers to Halak al-Atra, refers to Yazid, refers to Atash, and refers to Sabr. Now, that hadith which some people narrate, like all of the muqatta'at, that hadith is open to question. As in, if you look at the chain of the hadith, the chain of the hadith is not the strongest chain at all. And while Shaykh al-Saduq does narrate it in Kamal al-Din, we have other du'as. We even have a du'a where you recite, O you who is Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad, isn't it? I don't know if those of you have read the dua. It says, O you, by the letters Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad. Therefore, there are some scholars who are of the opinion that Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad may not necessarily directly refer to Karbala, but one of the possible meanings may refer to Karbala. However, another of opinions which I found very interesting, on the opinions on the unconnected letters, one opinion which I found very interesting was what? One opinion really shows you that if you become a king of your time or a khalifa, you can change everything to suit you. One opinion is that the letters refer to the names of the Sahaba who wrote the Quran. Yes, we said yesterday, who wrote the Quran? It was who? The Sahaba. Didn't we agree that Rasulullah had Sahaba who wrote the Quran? So they say all the 14 letters which you find, you know, Alif, Lam, Mim, Ta, Kaf, they refer to a companion who wrote that surah. Oh, 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 you know where this is heading, yes? So, if you see, for example, a letter like, let's say, if you see a letter like Alif, Alif, Lam, Mim, so that is in honor of Abu Hurairah, yes? Because Abu Hurairah is supposedly one of the writers of the Quran. So if Allah says Alif, Lam, Mim, that's like the signature of Abu Hurairah that his Alif refers to him. Mim refers to who? Muawiyah. Yes. There's an opinion, and this is what happens if government is in your hands. What do? You start changing every tafsir left, right, and center, correct? There's an opinion, which of course we reject, which is what? The Mim refers to Muawiyah. Alif refers to Abu Hurairah. Yes. Ta refers to who? Talha. Yes. Talha, because Talha was one of the writers, so the Ta belongs to him. Further on the Mim, they didn't want to stop at Muawiyah, so they said, also, don't forget, one of the Mims refers to Mughira bin Shu'bah. Yes? MashaAllah, we are naming every lover of Ali ibn Abi Talib, one after the other. Every lover of Ali ibn Abi Talib now has a huruf muqatta'a to him. MashaAllah. Mughira bin Shu'ba, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, Abu Huraira, everybody who had a chance to oppose Ali ibn Abi Talib, the revealed letters are about them. Yes, them. They're the protectors of the Quran. They're the ones who wanted to look after the Quran. You look, you say, Muawiyah on the day of Safin puts the Quran through the spear and Allah wants to name a letter after him. Mughira bin Shu'ba was one of those who attacked the door when the door was burnt. Allah wants to name a letter after him. Abu Huraira. So you find that these are the opinions that are given. All of these, what is one of the clearest opinions? One of the clearest opinions are that the unconnected letters refer to the name of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And I think if someone sticks to that opinion, because someone can say, like some scholars have said, Alif Lam Mim refers to Allah's attributes. So if you see Alif Lam Mim means, An Allahu A'lam. Or An Allahu, for example, A'lam wa Ufassil. Some scholars said that these are mystical messages of Allah's reality. And I think that's a plausible argument. Those of you who love this idea that the letters of the Quran resonate with your soul. Yes? Sometimes Allah gives you codes by which you find the secrets of this world. So some scholars said what? That Allah's names are within Alif Lam Mim. Allah's name is within Alif Lam Ra. Sometimes, you know, at home when we recite these letters, do not think that your soul doesn't feel at peace when you say these 3, 4, 5 letters. Those 3, 4, 5 letters may be the greatest praise you've ever given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you don't know, and there will be a time when this brain, inshallah, will reach a level where we're able to decode, with the help of the imam, what this means. Yet what is an opinion that many people agree with? The opinion that these unconnected letters refer to the name of Rasulullah. In which way? If you look at the surahs which refer to the name of Rasulullah, you'll find Rasulullah did not have the name only Muhammad or Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Who from you is able to tell me a name of Rasulullah according to letters? For example, Taha. Ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Correct or no? Taha. We did not send down the Qur'an on you so that you might be hurting yourself. Because you know he would recite Quran all day, all night. Allah told him, relax. Don't worry. I never sent this Quran for you to read it the whole day, the whole night. But Allah began Taha. That's why some people in our communities, what do they name their kids? Taha, isn't it? How many people do you know who've named their son Taha? Taha are two letters. If someone read those two letters, they'll be like, hold on, this is Ta and Ha. No. The next verse when it says, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنِ تَشْقَى, that verse is referring to whom? It goes back to the Prophet. Even, do you know one of the opinions of one of the names of Rasulullah is Noon? Who could tell me why Noon? Which surah begins with Noon? Qalam, yes? Noon, and by the pen and what they write, by your Lord's blessings, you are not insane, but rather you are a man of sublime morals. So Noon is whose name? Correct? Noon is the name of the man who Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. So Noon, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ مَجْنُونَ. No way, no way the Holy Prophet is insane. Yes? Because why? Because you are a man who is on the most sublime morals. So one of his names is Taha. So Taha is the Prophet Muhammad's name. Noon is one of his names. What's another of his names? Yasin. Interesting debate. Is his name Yasin or Sin? Do you know why? Ya could mean oh, Sin. Correct or no? If I say to you, Ya Ali, Ya Muhammad, Ya Haidar, Ya Hassan, Ya Ja'far, what's your name? Ya Ja'far or Ja'far? Ya Muhammad. If I call Ya Muhammad, does that mean his name is now Ya Muhammad? One opinion is that no, Rasulullah's name is not Yasin, it's Sin. The Ya is Allah calling him. Another opinion is that no, his name is Yasin. Why? Because the Quran says, Yasin wal Quran al Hakim, innaka laminal mursaleen. The innaka, you are one of our messengers, goes back to who? Yasin. So Yasin is what? One of Allah, one of Rasulullah's names. If there's ever a concrete understanding of these letters, the concrete understanding, Rasulullah's names, without a doubt, something that grabs the attention of the Arabs, without a doubt, and something simple for them in their language. And that's why the scholars of mysticism say something beautiful about these letters. Do you know what they say? They say, do you know why Allah puts these letters right at the beginning of the surah? This is what the scholars of mysticism say. One opinion is that these letters are put there to say to you, oh man, before you recite this book, put everything aside and come with a pure heart. Why? You see, these letters are right at the beginning, isn't it? When you read them, you don't know the meaning. So don't bring your other knowledge to us when you come to read our book. If you don't know the meaning of two letters in our book, then don't be arrogant when you come to read our book. Correct or no? Some people, when they come to read the Quran, oh, this Quran can't do anything for me. Habibi, you can't even explain two letters. You think this book's going to do anything for you? True? The scholars of mysticism, what do they say? One opinion is, when you come to read this, don't come and say, I've read Homer's Odyssey, and I've read Shakespeare, and I've read, for example, Gibran, and I've read Lao Tzu, and I've read this. What's this book going to do for me? Alif, Lam, Mim. With three letters, we finished everything you've read. You still can't even explain what these three letters mean. True? It's like that teacher or the student who came to him, he said, I studied in Najaf, I studied in Qom, I studied in Sham, I studied at Cambridge, I studied at Oxford, I studied in this road, I studied in that university, I studied in this. The teacher said, oh, okay. He went to go and make a cup of tea. Yes, and when he was making the cup of tea, the water came above the cup. Now it was overflowing. So he said to him, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean? He said, oh, it's overflowing now, it's too full. He said, can it ever be too full? As in, like, when you come now and you're telling me that you've studied everywhere, now you tell me something is too full, you want to come and study the Quran, it looks like you've studied everything else. When you come to study the Holy Quran, put everything aside. Don't come to the book and say, I've studied this, I've studied that, No. Because in three letters, we told you, stay quiet, now follow this Quran, correct? That's one opinion. Another opinion is what? The scholars of language say the phoneme has no role in language structure. People like Sousa, they would say the phoneme has no role. You bring me a single letter, it has no role in literature. You need to have a dyad. The dyad is the two letter, correct? So the dyad, you'd have, for example, the word off, yes? The structuralists, what would they say of language? They'd say in the semantics of language, the phoneme, the one letter, has no role. You need to begin something with two connection, yes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show no, even one letter like qaf or noon has a role. The scholars of mysticism, how do they interpret this? The scholars of mysticism interpret this by saying what? They interpret it by saying that we gave you those three letters to show you that not only do they have a meaning, but everything in this book has a meaning which you have to search for in your life. That do not stop searching. The scholars of mysticism say what? That letter, noon, you look at it as a simple letter. We never put anything randomly in this world. Even the noon, which we put in the Quran, even that has a purpose. Don't come back to us when you die and say, there was no purpose to this creation. Understand this point. Because there are many who come and say today, what's the purpose? Wallah, Allah does not put a noon in the Quran unless there's a meaning. Even the noon in the Quran, there's a meaning behind it. Therefore, when the Quran said, Yasin, wal Quran al-Hakim, Allah said, this is a book full of wisdom. Yes? A book full of wisdom, someone asked the question, why would you use wisdom when wisdom is a term for a human being, not any other existent? Can you call an animal wise? Someone says, yes, you can call the monkey wise. No. As in a monkey, you don't call it wise. A monkey has certain instincts by which it lives. But you don't say, you know what, that monkey made a wise decision with his wife. MashaAllah, that was a very wise decision. This is the problem that you find in society today. 30 years ago, if you were crazy, they'd say you're as crazy as a monkey. Today they say, oh, we came from monkeys. You call a monkey wise? No. Call a lion wise? No. Even the fox, someone says as wise as a fox. No, they work on instinct. You call a plant wise? No. Why would Allah call a book wise? Why give a human attribute to a book? Because He's trying to show us that use this book and look at its human side. That if it was a human being with so much wisdom, you would never stop befriending such a wise being. Have you befriended this wise Quran? Understand this point. If my friend was someone full of wisdom, I'd never leave them alone. How can I leave the book which is the Quran al-Hakim? How? If my friend is someone of wisdom, I want to sit with them, talk with them, learn from them. I never want to leave them for a second. Allah gave this attribute, a human attribute to the Quran to say that if this Quran was a human being with this much wisdom, would you neglect them? Wisdom is the lost treasure of the believer. You'd never. So why, O human being, do you abandon this Quran which is with you? Yasin, wal Quran al-Hakim. This Quran is a book full of wisdom. I normally only give hikmah to the creation, that's the human. But I've put my hikmah in the Quran. Do not abandon this book. Yasin, wal Quran al-Hakim, innaka lamina al-mursaleen ala sirata mustaqim. Ala sirata mustaqim means what? Means that the path of Yasin, the path of the Holy Prophet, is a path which is straight, not crooked. There is no right, there is no left. Directly on the path of forgiveness, the path of honor, the path of dignity. Everything he walked was the walking Quran. Everything he talked was the talking Quran. When Allah says Yasin is ala sirata mustaqim, it means there was no deviation. That means that anyone connected to that Yasin is not deviated. When Yasin says Fatima is a part of me, correct? When Yasin says, Fatima bad'atun minni, man adaha faqad adani. Fatima is a part of me. Whoever angers her, angers me. Fatima, if she's a part of Yasin, she's on the sirat of Yasin, correct? She's on the path of the Quran, the sirat al-mustaqim. When Rasulullah said, Fatima bad'atun minni, man adaha faqad adani, what was he saying? The same way Allah said, I am ala sirat al-mustaqim, my daughter Fatima is ala sirat al-mustaqim. The same way I'm on the path of righteousness, she's on the path of righteousness. Do not neglect my daughter after I die. Protect her. Look after her message. Because she is the walking Quran in the middle of Medina. Make sure that all of you look after her message. I say to him, Ya Rasulallah, they crushed your daughter between the wall and the door. Ya Rasulallah, they burned the house of your daughter. Ya Rasulallah, they viciously slapped the cheeks of your daughter. Do you know one narration what it mentions? Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen narrates that he saw Imam al-Hassan after Fatima al-Zahra had died. When he had seen Imam al-Hassan, he saw him crying and crying. He said to him, my son Hassan, why do you cry? He said to him, father, if you saw what they did to my mother Fatima, you would cry as well. He said to him, my son, what do you mean? He said, my father, when my mother was coming back from the mosque after her khutbah, two of the men came and slapped my mother across her eye on the way back. And this moment Imam looked at him, he said, no wonder your mother wouldn't look at me in her final moments before she died. And that's why another narration mentions, Abu Dhar al-Ghafari narrates, he says, we were carrying the janazah of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. He said, when we were carrying the janazah, I saw Imam al-Hassan run to the chest of his mother Fatima. I saw Imam al-Hussein run after him. Imam al-Hussein came by the chest of his mother. He looked at there towards his mother. He said, oh, mother, mother, it's me, Hussein. Answer me. He said, at this moment I saw Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib remove Hussein from the chest of his mother. I looked at him, I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you removing Hussein from the chest of his mother? He looked at me and he said, because Jibreel said to me, remove Hussein from the chest of his mother. The angels cannot bear to see Abu Abdullah on the chest of his mother. But the poet replies back, what does he say? If the angels couldn't bear to see Abu Abdullah on the chest of his mother, how did they bear to see Shimon sitting on the chest of Abu Abdullah? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with Muhammad and Al Muhammad, to allow us to be amongst the companions of Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. Tomorrow night, as you all know, is the anniversary of the death of Sayyida Khadija alayhi salam. Ya Allah, allow us to perform her ziyarah this year and every year. Ya Allah, remove the filth that surrounds her grave and remove every oppressor in that land. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Surah Al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat.